Chapter 20. W.A.L.S. My poor creature, I have not this book, but I hope I shall one time or other get it for you, and help you to read it. Here he embraced her with great affection, but with inexpressible grief, that he had not a Bible.
Wife. But how you make he me know that God teach him to write that book?
W.A. By the same rule, that we know him to be God.
Wife.
What rule? What way you know him?
W.A. Because he teaches, and commands nothing but what is good, righteous, and holy, and tends to make us perfectly good, as well as perfectly happy, and because he forbids and commands us to avoid all that is wicked, that is evil in itself, or evil in its consequence.
Wife. That me would understand, that me fancy, if he teach ye all good thing, he make ye all good thing, he give all thing, he hear me when I say O to him, as you do just now, he make ye me good, if I wish to be good, he spare me, no make he kill me, when I no be good. All this you say he do, yet he be great God. Me take, think, believe him to be great God. Me say O to him with you, my dear. Here the poor man could forbear no longer, but raised her up, made her kneel by him, and he prayed to God aloud to instruct her in the knowledge of himself, by his spirit, and that by some good providence, if possible, she might, some time or other, come to have a Bible, that she might read the word of God, and be taught by it to know him. This was the time, that we saw him lift her up by the hand, and saw him kneel down by her, as above. They had several other discourses, it seems, after this, and particularly she made him promise that, since he confessed his own life had been a wicked abominable course of provocations against God, that he would reform it, and not make God angry any more, lest he should make him dead, as she called it, and then she would be left alone, and never be taught to know this God better. And lest he should be miserable, as he had told her wicked men would be after death. This was a strange account, and very affecting to us both, but particularly to the young clergyman. He was, indeed, wonderfully surprised with it, but under the greatest affliction imaginable, that he could not talk to her, that he could not speak English, to make her understand him, and as she spoke, but very broken English, he could not understand her. However, he turned himself to me, and told me, that he believed, that there must be more to do with this woman than to marry her. I did not understand him at first, but at length he explained himself, viz., that she ought to be baptized. I agreed with him in that part readily, and wished it to be done presently. No, no, hold, sir, says he, though I would have her be baptized, by all means, for I must observe that Will Atkins, her husband, has indeed brought her, in a wonderful manner, to be willing to embrace a religious life, and has given her just ideas of the being of a God, of his power, justice, and mercy. Yet I desire to know of him, if he has said anything to her of Jesus Christ, and of the salvation of sinners, of the nature of faith in him, and redemption by him, of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection, the last judgment, and the future state. I called Will Atkins again, and asked him, but the poor fellow fell immediately into tears, and told us he had said something to her of all those things, but that he was himself so wicked a creature, and his own conscience so reproached him with his horrid ungodly life, that he trembled at the apprehensions, that her knowledge of him should lessen the attention she should give to those things, and make her rather contemn religion than receive it. But he was assured, he said, that her mind was so disposed to receive new impressions of all those things, and that if I would but discourse with her, she would make it appear to my satisfaction, that my labor would not be lost upon her. Accordingly I called her in, and placing myself as interpreter between my religious priest and the woman, I entreated him to begin with her, but sure such a sermon was never preached by a popish priest in these latter ages of the world, and as I told him, I thought he had all the zeal, all the knowledge, all the sincerity of a Christian, without the error of a Roman Catholic,
and that I took him to be such a clergyman as the Roman bishops were before the Church of Rome assumed spiritual sovereignty over the consciences of men. In a word, he brought the poor woman to embrace the knowledge of Christ and of redemption by him, not with wonder and astonishment only, as she did the first notions of a God, but with joy and faith, with an affection, and a surprising degree of understanding, scarce to be imagined, much less to be expressed, and, at her own request, she was baptized. When he was preparing to baptize her, I entreated him that he would perform that office with some caution, that the man might not perceive he was of the Roman Church, if possible, because of other ill consequences which might attend a difference among us in that very religion which we were instructing the other in. He told me that as he had no consecrated chapel, nor proper things for the office, I should see he would do it in a manner that I should not know by it that he was a Roman Catholic myself, if I had not known it before, and so he did, for saying only some words over to himself in Latin, which I could not understand, he poured a whole dishful of water upon the woman's head, pronouncing in French, very loud, Mary, which was the name her husband desired me to give her, for I was her godfather. I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, so that none could know anything by it, what religion he was of. He gave the benediction afterwards in Latin, but either Will Atkins did not know, but it was French, or else did not take notice of it at that time. As soon as this was over we married them. And after the marriage was over, he turned to Will Atkins, and in a very affectionate manner exhorted him, not only to persevere in that good disposition he was in, but to support the convictions that were upon him by a resolution to reform his life. Told him it was in vain to say he repented, if he did not forsake his crimes. Represented to him how God had honored him with being the instrument of bringing his wife to the knowledge of the Christian religion, and that he should be careful he did not dishonor the grace of God, and that if he did, he would see the heathen a better Christian than himself, the savage converted, and the instrument cast away. He said a great many good things to them both, and then, recommending them to God's goodness, gave them the benediction again, I repeating everything to them in English, and thus ended the ceremony. I think it was the most pleasant and agreeable day to me that ever I passed in my whole life. But my clergyman had not done yet. His thoughts hung continually upon the conversion of the 37 savages, and fain be, would have stayed upon the island to have undertaken it. But I convinced him, first, that his undertaking was impracticable in itself, and, secondly, that perhaps I would put it into a way of being done in his absence to his satisfaction. Having thus brought the affairs of the island to a narrow compass, I was preparing to go on board the ship, when the young man I had taken out of the famished ship's company came to me, and told me he understood I had a clergyman with me, and that I had caused the Englishman to be married to the savages, that he had a match to, which he desired, might be finished before I went, between two Christians, which he hoped would not be disagreeable to me. I knew this must be the young woman who was his mother's servant, for there was no other Christian woman on the island. So I began to persuade him not to do anything of that kind rashly, or because he found himself in this solitary circumstance. I represented to him that he had some considerable substance in the world, and good friends, as I understood by himself, and the maid also, that the maid was not only poor, and a servant, but was unequal to him, she being 6 or 7 and 20 years old, and he not above 17 or 18, that he might very probably, with my assistance, make a remove from this wilderness, and come into his own country again, and that then it would be 1,000 to 1, but he would repent his choice, and the dislike of that circumstance might be disadvantageous to both. I was going to say more, but he interrupted me, smiling, and told me, with a great deal of modesty, that I mistook in my guesses, that he had nothing of that kind in his thoughts. and he was very glad to hear that I had an intent of putting them in a way to see their own country again, and nothing should have made him think of staying there, but that the voyage I was going was so exceeding long and hazardous, and would carry him quite out of the reach of all his friends, that he had nothing to desire of me, but that I would settle him in some little property in the island where he was, give him a servant or two, and some few necessaries, and he would live here like a planter, waiting the good time when, if ever I returned to England, I would redeem him. He hoped I would not be unmindful of him, when I came to England, that he would give me some letters to his friends in London, to let them know how good I had been to him, and in what part of the world, and what circumstances I had left him in. And he promised me that whenever I redeemed him, the plantation, and all the improvements he had made upon it, let the value be what it would, should be wholly mine. His discourse was very prettily delivered, considering his youth, and was the more agreeable to me, because he told me positively the match was not for himself. I gave him all possible assurances, that if I lived to come safe to England, I would deliver his letters, and do his business effectually, and that he might depend I should never forget the circumstances I had left him in. But still I was impatient to know who was the person to be married, upon which he told me it was my Jack of all trades and his maid Susan. I was most agreeably surprised, when he named the match, for, indeed, I thought it very suitable. The character of that man I have given already, and as for the maid, she was a very honest, modest, sober, and religious young woman. Had a very good share of sense, was agreeable enough in her person, spoke very handsomely, and to the purpose, always with decency and good manners, and was neither too backward to speak when requisite, nor impertinently forward when it was not her business. Very handy and housewifely, and an excellent manager, fit, indeed, to have been governess to the whole island, and she knew very well how to behave in every respect. The match being proposed in this manner, we married them the same day, and as I was father at the altar, and gave her away, so I gave her a portion, for I appointed her, and her husband a handsome large space of ground for their plantation. And indeed this match, and the proposal the young gentleman made to give him a small property in the island, put me upon parceling it out amongst them, that they might not quarrel afterwards about their situation. This sharing out the land to them, I left to Will Atkins, who was now grown a sober, grave, managing fellow, perfectly reformed, exceedingly pious and religious. And, as far as I may be allowed to speak positively in such a case, I verily believe he was a true penitent. He divided things so justly, and so much to everyone's satisfaction, that they only desired one general writing under my hand for the whole, which I caused to be drawn up, and signed and sealed, setting out the bounds and situation of every man's plantation, and testifying that I gave them thereby severally a right to the whole possession and inheritance of the respective plantations or farms, with their improvements, to them and their heirs, reserving all the rest of the island as my own property, and a certain rent for every particular plantation after 11 years, if I, or anyone from me, or in my name, came to demand it, producing an attested copy of the same writing. As to the government and laws among them, I told them I was not capable of giving them better rules than they were able to give themselves. Only I made them promise me to live in love, and good neighborhood with one another, and so I prepared to leave them. One thing I must not omit, and that is, that being now settled in a kind of commonwealth among themselves, and having much business in hand, it was odd to have 37 Indians live in a nook of the island, independent, and, indeed, unemployed. For except the providing themselves food, which they had difficulty enough to do sometimes, they had no manner of business or property to manage. I proposed, therefore, to the governor Spaniard, that he should go to them, with Friday's father, and propose to them to remove, and either plant for themselves, or be taken into their several families as servants to be maintained for their labor, but without being absolute slaves, for I would not permit them to make them slaves by force, by any means, because they had their liberty given them by capitulation, as it were articles of surrender, which they ought not to break. They most willingly embraced the proposal, and came all very cheerfully along with him. So we allotted them land and plantations, which three or four accepted of, but all the rest chose to be employed as servants in the several families we had settled. Thus my colony was in a manner settled as follows. The Spaniards possessed my original habitation, which was the capital city, and extended their plantations all along the side of the brook, which made the creek, that I have so often described, as far as my bower, and as they increased their culture, it went always eastward. The English lived in the northeast part, where Will Atkins and his comrades began, and came on southward and southwest, towards the back part of the Spaniards. And every plantation had a great addition of land to take in, if they found occasion, so that they need not jostle one another for want of room. All the east end of the island was left uninhabited, that if any of the savages should come on shore there only for their customary barbarities, they might come and go. If they disturbed nobody, nobody would disturb them. And no doubt, but they were often ashore, and went away again. For I never heard that the planters were ever attacked or disturbed any more. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.